All right, so next up we're going to have just a few more testimonies, and then we'll show a video, and then we're all going to have a Guatemalan dinner together. So authentic Guatemalan food. It's really good. So first up, we're going to have Jonathan from our team. And one of the things that I really appreciated about Jonathan is that he really walks that line between being completely silly and ridiculous and getting stuff done. And he can just throws that switch, and, you know, he's off having a dance battle, and then we need something to get from point A to point B, and he just steps in and he makes it happen. So I really appreciated that about him.
Okay. So my question was, why did I wait till this morning to start working on this testimony? Naturally, I need extra help with school type stuff, so I asked Miss Clement for some help, extra help. And my topic is the grandness of God's creation. So first, a couple silly-ish stuff. So first was, we had an epic view at Eagle's Nest, and that is currently now my our desktop background, and it looks really nice at night. Second, I wrote bug bait, hoo-ha-ha. Oh yeah, Ryan, where is he? Okay, yes, you were our bug bait, and he got all the bites and we didn't. And I guess that relates to the grandness of God's creation, because yeah, there's bait and then the rest of us, so thank you for that. And then another creation, I guess, me. So I ate a lot of food at Guatemala, and then I'm not sure all of you know, but my family, we went on vacation, well, not vacation, like, yes, vacation to Kuwait and then India, like, right after. And there's a lot of food in Kuwait and India as well. And I thought, well, I assumed, okay, this is vacation, bulking time. And, like, you know, like many boys my age, we want to get big and we want to get strong. And so would anyone like to guess how many pounds? Yes. How much? 10? No, less than that. Yes. -3? Closer. What? Okay. It's less than 6.
4.
Closer.
3.
Closer.
3.
Okay. The answer was 1.2 pounds. Wait, hold on. That I lost. I don't know how it happened, but we're a new creation. And I lost counts. Okay. And I guess some more serious things was also we went to Solola to get supplies, and then I think we were on that really crazy bus that drives really fast down the hills and stuff, and then we were going up to Eagle's Nest, and I remember that it was, like, threatening terrain, like, really threatening terrain. I remember hearing thunder. I'm not sure whether I saw lightning, but, like, there was definitely thunder. And then we had some stuff to take out of the bus, too. And then it didn't rain until all of us pretty much got into the dining hall. And then it started to pour. And then Abigail went out into the rain. And then it was, like, really grand the way God was, like, so in control over there. And then another thing I wanted to talk about was there was a meteor shower that happened, like, during one of the nights. And other than, like, the really huge moon, it was pretty nice to just, like, lie down there and just stare up at the sky and marvel at everything else that God's created. It's the earth and it's everything else out there. And I saw 2 meteors and 1 satellite. So, yay. And then I believe it was the same night. This is where my memory gets fuzzy. Ronan and I were just looking for some stuff to do, and then we went to the apartments, and then I believe that's when everyone was at, I think it was Osvaldo and NG's apartment, and they were all praying, and then we kind of joined in. And then we helped fold clothes. Yeah.
The part that Jonathan left out of his testimony about that night was that we were all exhausted, and we did not want to stay behind in full clothes. That was the last thing we wanted to do. And then these 2 guys show up, And it was like God was sending us these extra hands to just come and help us in this thing that we really needed to get done. So I felt like God was moving us like chess pieces to just be in the right place at the right time, even if it doesn't feel super spiritual to like sort in full clothes, that, you know, God had his plan and his purposes and was in control. Oompa Loompas. Next up, I'm going to ask Jason from Toronto Alliance Church to come and share. Jason was very much our person who was always calling us to battle and, you know, always collecting people and tapping them on the shoulder, come and pray, come and pray. And anytime there was something going wrong or going down, he was like, well, we got to pray about this. We got to pray about this. And that was really amazing and encouraging to be a part of. And I really love his personality. When he's doing something, it's going to be 100% all the time. He doesn't hold back. And I love that about him. So enjoy.
How's everybody doing? Good? What a good day. Yeah, thank you for eating all the bugs and the bugs. Oh, poor Ryan. Pretty soon I thought he was going to go into cocoon just to heal from all of his wounds. Every morning, Bonnie and him would have a little huddle, and I was like, I think Bonnie's just like, it's going to be okay, man. You're going to make it. You're not going to be totally covered. It's very funny. Poor guy. The trip was pretty remarkable in so many ways. I'm going to tell a few little stories. Guatemala is such an interesting place. I think one of the things I loved about the trip was how the depth and wonder of the people. There's just such a generosity of spirit to the Guatemalan people. And I, you know, from knowing Angie and Osvaldo for a long time, that's not surprising. It seems, and I think this is true, that everything is done in community. There's a lot of lack, but it gets made up with community, which is kind of remarkable. And decision-making in Guatemala is like a whole another kind of... I think there should be like a study done into decision-making in Guatemala. This is how it would go. We would get to a place, people would start talking. It would take about 20 to 30 minutes to have a discussion about what the next thing was going to happen. Like, literally, we would all be like, yeah, discussion. It would take 20 or 30 minutes, and then we would all decide that we're going to go this way, and at the very last second, somebody would go, we're going to go that way. Every single decision was like that. It was never like, we're going to go that way, and everybody went. No, it was, we're going to go that way, and then we're going to go that way. And so it was like this weird thing. I would stand back and watch the discussion. It was like this... It was like a cultivation. It was just happening. And then all of a sudden, it was like that everywhere. It was so funny. And what was hilarious is that Angie's told Osvaldo, we need to have everything organized in a book, and we need to have it all, like, itemized. And Osvaldo's like, it's not going to matter, Angie. And it was true. It did not matter. Not one thing happened as we thought it would happen. Not one. But that was the magic of it. That was the fun of it, right? And perfect example was, we all were doing different things, and we went to this in Salola. We went to it was in Salola with the church. We went to a building site, and we were helping help them build this wall and this soccer field. And so we arrive, and it was Ronan, Jonathan, John Akinechny, Levi, and I. And we arrived by truck, and they have this big truck unloading cinder blocks to build this wall, right? And so they're about a quarter done. They had just started, and so we were just standing there, and nobody was asking us, like, to help or anything. We're just like, should somebody tell us what to do? Like, we don't... So we just joined in. We unloaded this entire truck of cinder blocks, right? After it is unloaded, the foreman goes, can you guys move those cinder blocks? And I'm talking, like, a wall of, like 1,000 cinder blocks. Can you move the cinder blocks to the other side of the property where we're building the wall? And we were like, why didn't you drop the cinder blocks beside the wall in the first place? Levi said that. He says, why didn't they put it where they're building the wall? It was just very funny. We're like, different country. And then this is the other best part. So the ground that they're building the soccer field out of is kind of like a silt, almost like a little bit of a gravel, right? So there was a huge pile of gravel. And so the guy's, I want you to take that pile of ground, like a mound, like enough for a whole soccer field, and we're gonna move that, and we're gonna spread it out over the whole soccer field. So we're like, great. And so where's the tools? Well, we've got one hoe and a wheelbarrow. Is it? Like, really? You mean per person? No, just one hoe and a wheelbarrow. We're like, okay. And then Levi was like, gets a board, and he begins, like, you know, kind of raking the gravel with the board, and all the foreman and the three, like, elders of the church were like, that's brilliant. And we're all like, it's a board, man. Like, I don't quite know what's going on, but it's a board. And so it was really so wonderful. But of course, in our ignorance, we are working and we're shoveling. Oh, no, there was a shovel as well. A hoe and a shovel with a half a handle. So we did have a shovel. And so we're working, we're like trying to work. And like an hour in, we're all like have heat stroke, right? We're all like, it's so bad. And then all the guys are in the shade going, yeah, we work a little slower than you North American folks. Like, it was very, very funny. So those are just some funny stories about Guatemala. But it was so lovely. And, you know, I was concerned about being the middle-aged white guy coming in. And I only say that because, you know, I've heard from many people. I've done a number of trips, and I've heard from many. Like, I was very interested in coming and gleaning and learning and I wasn't coming in for rescue. I was coming in to participate in what God was already doing. But I didn't want to come across in that way, like presumptuous, like somehow I know better than the people. Because, you know, amazing. My favorite part of the whole trip was the beauty of the people. But I was pretty overwhelmed by how welcomed in we were. Like, all of us, the whole team was welcomed in by the people of the country. Wherever we would go, whether it be Guatemala City or wherever, you know, with Oswaldo's brother, who is doing an incredible work in the garbage dump in Guatemala City. It was remarkable to be a part of that. And because I'm an actor and performer, I got to perform at one of the churches in Guatemala City. And I did my performance on the Prodigal Son, and I had a translator. And God, and I think this was indicative of the whole trip, that we took our gifts, whatever they were, like, and there were many, many gifts, very unique, and we just laid them out before the Lord. And everywhere we went, you could see God just, he was just landing on all the different things. You know, whether it would be with the kids, or whether it would be showing up and delivering food, or beds, or whatever. Or even just going to the coffee shop, which was so good. The coffee in Guatemala was so good. And your brother needs to be bringing it in, Oswaldo. We got to figure out how to do that. But what was amazing was I performed and there was a translator. And the Holy Spirit just did a work even in that moment on the first night where people were just connecting with Jesus in such a powerful way. And I think that the thing that I was so evident was that when we sit in the place of God's calling and gifting in our life, we just be us, like fully us, so fully inhabited by the Holy Spirit, and just doing what we do, whatever that is, you know, sketching, singing, organizing, like building, whatever it was, whatever our gifting was. When I watched people, and we had like a wacky, weird, like you've got some kooky people in this church. And same with Toronto Alliance. We're all a bunch of weird people. Like, we got like 25 just strange ducks, right? And I loved it. I thought, this is the weirdest, most wonderful group of people. And we all got together doing our thing. Like, so good. It was so good. But when people were sitting in their gifting, God was just, it was so evident God was pouring himself out. And in the same way that we were receiving the love of those who were around us. So, it was just like super cool to watch that, and I feel really blessed and privileged to be. Sarah, my wife, who couldn't be here today, she's out of town. But we just talked about how cool it was that like Rouge Valley and Toronto Alliance got together and do this thing together, and how one of the most special things was how unusual we were. You know, such cool gifting, such wonder. Anyway, thank you, and I have no more things to say.
We actually do have some of, since you mentioned it, some of Walter's coffee here today. If anybody's interested in purchasing some, all the proceeds go to help out with the ministry he has at the garbage dump. So we'll maybe make an announcement as well at the dinner. Just if anybody's interested, just let us know. I think it's $15 Canadian for a bag of, or 10 American. Who has American dollars on them, huh? Show of hands, American dollars? No. Oh, we have one. Okay. So we have one last testimony, and then we're going to do a video. Miles is going to give us a benediction, and then we'll have one just last announcement, and then we're going to eat. So we're getting to the end of things here. So last but certainly not least is Ryan. Ryan Neville, if you want to come on up. We got a lot of Ryans. So I would say for sure Ryan would win Class Clown, hands down, of Guatemala, for sure. Just with his, perfectly timed questions that were never on topic. And he was just always bringing out the silliness in all the kids. And, it was very much, wherever he was, people were laughing with him and at him, around him. one of the things I also love about Ryan is he just has such a deep compassion for people. And I love to see that as we were in Guatemala, and just his love for the people around him and his desire to let God use him in that context.
Thanks, Bob. All right. So I thought I'd start with a traditional Guatemalan song. This is a rare, exotic, Guatemalan hand-carved flute that I haggled down for $8. Okay. Okay, can you... I also have a pen. Okay, so on a serious note, I just wanted to share one... thanks, Ronan. I just want to share one... Oh, this way? No? Yeah, I just want to share one main story that really touched me, and I felt that God was really in it. So it involves this woman here. I think it was already alluded to that we helped with a lot of things, financially and practically, but one of the things was helping this woman and her family build a new, not build, but provide the resources to build a roof for their home that they stayed in. And so I was given by my family $150 to donate to some cause in Guatemala. And this money came from a very special place in my family. It was given kind of in honor of my late brother. It was very meaningful to me to give this money somewhere to some cause. So I was very observant where I could give it to. So speaking to Angie and Osvaldo, they told me about this woman here and her family. And so she had lost her mother not too recently. So she was going through grief and loss. And so I thought, how appropriate, like, I have this money that I've experienced a loss as well, right? So right away, I wanted to give that money here. So we helped them to build, to provide the materials for this roof. So this woman, Angie and Osvaldo were saying, last year they wanted to help her family with a need, but she was she kept saying, no, 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 there's other families I know in the community who are more in need than me. So that's what happened the previous year. But this year, our leaders here were very adamant that we want to help you, right? So I was very honored to give this money and help this family. So what happened was, I think it was the last day, we were leaving on the bus, and we got to see this family again. And then Osvaldo was translating for me to talk to this lady. And so he filled her in on kind of where the money's coming from in that story about my brother. And she said that, you know, as soon as she seen me, she could tell there was this loss in me, right? Like, she could just tell, or sense, I guess. And, you know, she was sharing some things with through Osvaldo to me, just trying to encourage me, right, like, about our losses. And as she was talking, right, she just started crying, and it just touched me so much, and I started crying. And so we were both crying, and then we were just hugging. And I just felt it was this really powerful moment where the Holy Spirit was there, using me and her to comfort each other in our loss. And, you know, God was just in that. So it's just a really powerful moment for me and this lady that we don't have anything in common, you know, different part of the country, we don't speak the same language, and yet we have this bond in our loss and in Christ, right? So it's just really profound and powerful. So that was that's that lady there. So so next I just wanted to share a few pictures that I thought were significant to me. So I have it. Okay, so just, yeah, to give you guys an image, right? So this was where Steve is in the blue shirt. So right there, that's the house that the family lived in, and that's the roof that was in disrepair. And so they live in just that one room, little hut, and they have, you know, a number of people living there, and you know, they may have a bed, they may not, like it's, people sleep on the floor. So it's a very small space. So just to give you a picture. So this was hopefully to go with what Ronan was sharing with how we helped all these places. So it's a little out of place, but this is just where that soccer field was that they were saying with the construction project. And we were just leading a camp day here with the kids. And that's the Mi Faro, the My Lighthouse song we were playing. And this is Jason there kidnapping a child, or I think it was a skit, so that was a good moment. So again, just singing songs with the kids. There's our resident artist, Logan, doing some face painting, and some other activities with Eden, Diana, Leslie, Nazar there helping out. A lot of pictures from that day. There's Lily also helping with the face painting. So this is just an image of kind of a community we were in, just to give you an idea of how the houses were, just these cement, structures, right? This was the inside of somebody's house, kitchen area, I think. Dirt floors, just metal sheet roofs. This is Eagle's Nest from a better vantage point, like a higher view of it. So that's the compound we were staying in. And you can't really see it, but there's the lake in the background and volcano. So just a spectacular view. Is anybody going to share the story about where Eagle's Nest came from? We don't have time. Okay. I think it's a really powerful story. I'll do it really quickly. But it was originally built by the government to, house like kind of a resort area to house like high up delegates. But it was abandoned and in disrepair for a long time. And then the missionary couple who came to Guatemala and started up a ministry with children, and then they ended up buying this place for, I think it was like $600,000, but then it was like $180,000, So they got an amazing deal. And then it was made into an orphanage. So something that was intended to be, you know, for the rich is now given to the poor, right? And it's just a stunning place to be. So I won't take up too much time. I think they're in the video will capture a lot of... These are some kids. This is the kind of area we were staying in for dinner and stuff. This is Dan putting up this human piñata beside the real piñata. This was a little shop market area we went to buy some corn. That's corn in a bag and beans. So we went there to get this. I think they were like 100 pounds, these bags, and we had to at times carry them. And I wanted to share this picture lastly. I hope it's not embarrassing, but this was them on the flight back home, and they were just exhausted. And I think it just captures, just they put their heart into it, and they were done. So thank you.
Dear brother, to pray for us. Okay. Because, I think, give him the honor.
Amen. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, first of all, of being your children. The opportunity that one day you save us and you have established so many things for us to do in this earth while we are here. You take us out of darkness and you show us the light. And that's why we are doing all this, God, because now we have this, you have put in us the desire to share your love, God. And thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you. I want to thank you for this trip that we had, for all the things that you had, the seeds that you had put in our hearts and the hearts of the people in Guatemala. Thank you for your provision that was so great, God, that we could give a lot of smiles and a lot of gifts to the people. Thank you for the things that you are doing. And we, Father, I remember at that time when after Jesus, you took Jesus back to you after the resurrection and everybody was gathering together and they had all the things in common because they knew that having you is the most beautiful thing. Having you, then we can share everything that we have. The time probably that we can have, instead of having vacations, we can go and serve you, and the money that we can spare and share with all these people. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for Rush Valley Church for all the time and all the effort and for all the people who had donated from their pockets, from their prayers, and for the time. Thank you for what you have done. And I know that you are... still working on us, still there is work to do, and as your word says that we're going to leave behind what we have done, and we're going to lift our eyes and focus on you, Jesus, and the work that we still have to be done, and whatever you have prepared for us. So I want to thank you, I want to bless each of the ones who are here. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and I pray for each family represented that you're going to bless each family here represented. And then you're going to continue working in this church, and then you're going to bring more revival and more fire from the Holy Spirit so that we can keep going, and that all this, God, will, all these activities that we have either here or mission trips or whatever we do, that it can be the fuel that we also we can have in our hearts, in our souls, that continual work that you are doing with us. I thank you. I bless everyone, and I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.